Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and today we're going to continue our exploration of unit testing. In the previous episode, we did part one in this Getting Started series on unit testing. Today is part two, and there's going to be a part three. So just a very quick review of what we did in part one. We saw that to create unit tests, we could add to a solution a unit test project. And in our example, we used mycalculator.test. And remember, the point of unit testing is to take your code and break it into the smallest possible chunks so that you can test each chunk of code individually before adding it to the solution. It gives you the ability to test pieces of code easily, efficiently, and over again. So we created this unit test project. We called it mycalculator.tests. And then that is a test class. So this calculator test class contains tests. And then we created methods, add simple, divide simple, etc. We attributed them test method that tells Visual Studio that these are actual tests. And so we saw that the way you do this is you arrange. So you set up your environment, you act, which is to actually run the code you're testing, and then you assert, which is how you determine whether the method returned what you expected it to. So we run the add method of the calculator, we pass it a 1 and 2, we expect it to return a 3. If it does, the test passes. If it doesn't, the test fails. Then we saw that you can look at all your tests in the Test Explorer, you can right-click on a method and run the test, you can go into the Test Explorer and run them. We saw that you can categorize your methods. So here we used a test category, simple math, and we created one called exceptions. And then we could also give these things priorities. Then you go into the Test Explorer. You can group your tests various ways, and you can run an individual test, or you can run them all. You can just run the failed tests. So let's run all tests. They run. We see that they succeeded because they have the green circle with a check mark. And then in the lower window of the Test Explorer, we can see what happened. Okay, and if a test fails, so if we're expecting this to return a 3 and it doesn't, then we see why. We expected a 3, it actually returned a 2, and we know that the test failed. Okay, so that, in a nutshell, is what we did in the previous episode. And again, we see that it's really, really easy to say, I want to run all of my exception tests. I want to run all of my prize zero tests. Okay? So we've tested the code, but now what we're ready to do is take this code and use it in a real live application. So we're going to build a UI for this. So let's switch over to that. I already have one built. It is calculator here. It's a WPF app because we're, you know, keep this nice and simple. And it's a calculator. And when the user presses various buttons and then adds 89 plus 6, we're going to call that add method. If we divide, we're going to call that divide method, etc. There's also methods for adding hours, etc. So this calculator calls a bunch of the code. Now we've already tested the code isolated from the UI, but now what we want to do is test the UI. I know that if I pass a 9 and a 6 to the divide method, I'll get back 9 divided by 6. I know I'm going to get back a 1 because we're just using integers. We've decided in this application just to deal with integers. So I know that I'm expecting if I pass in a 9 and a 6 that I'll get back a 1. I can unit test that. But how do I know that when the user comes in and taps 9 divided or clicks 9 divided by 6 equal, do I really get the 1 back? Okay, and then what happens if the user starts, you know, doing these kinds of things? Does the application work? So I want to be able to unit test that. Right now, what I'd have to do is start the application and then actually go through all of the motions of clicking buttons and then clicking the operations and clicking equal. How do I unit test that? So that's what we're going to look at next. Now, there is a more advanced way of doing this. It's called coded UI testing. But because this is a XAML application, because we're using commands in our XAML, what we can actually do is unit test the user's interactions. Let me show you how that works. So here's our application, right? Our UI is all of the buttons. And each of these buttons is wired up not to an event handler, but to a command. All right, so if I tap 7, right, then it is wired up to the key command and it passes a 7. If I tap 8, it's wired up to a command called key command passing an 8. If I tap the, I keep saying tap, but I'm actually clicking on it because this is not mouse enabled. If I click or tap the divide button, then I'll call the divide command. These commands are all in my calculator view model. So in here I've defined a bunch of I commands, and this is what we're wiring up the buttons to. And then in the constructor of the view model, we assign or attach each of those to code in here. So when I press a key, 7, 8, 9, etc., I'm going to call the append keys method, right, which registers the fact that I've tapped or clicked one of those keys. If I click the add button, then I'm going to call the add command, right, which is actually going to call the add method of the calculator. Same thing with subtract, multiply, etc. So because I've wired up every button, every user interaction is wired up to a command, I can write unit tests based on those commands. So let's see how to do that. First thing I'm going to do is add a new unit testing project to the solution. So I'll add a new project, go into the test category, call it unit test, select unit test project, and call this calculator.tests. Again, the convention is the assembly you're testing dot tests. Okay. Then I'm going to rename this class, and I will rename it math tests. Okay. And then this method here, I'm going to rename add simple. Okay. And now I'm going to add code into this. Okay. What I first need, though, is a reference to the actual code I'm going to be calling. So I need a reference to my calculator assembly, which is where the view model lives, because I'm calling things in the view model. Okay. And now, let me go back in here, I want to add code to test the user interactions. And that code is this. So I'm going to create a new instance of the calculator view model. Because the calculator has a random button, I've got built into this the ability to use the built-in Visual Studio randomizer, or you can pass in your own. And then what I'm going to do is programmatically hit the 1 button, and then programmatically hit the add button, programmatically hit the 2 button, programmatically hit the equal button, and then find out what the calculator thinks the current value is, and that should be equal to 3. So here's my test. And the cool thing about this is when I now run this test, what I have done is the programmatic equivalent of firing up the application, saying 1 plus 2 equals, and checking if this is equal to 3. Right? This is really cool. And we're able to do this because it's a XAML application calling commands. I don't know what the similar techniques would be in a web forms or an MVC application, but I'm sure there are very similar things. I know you can do MVVM in web applications with some of the JavaScript libraries, so I'm sure there's similar things for web. That would be cool. And if you know how to do that, let me know. We'll show some examples, or better yet, if you're in Redmond, come on the show and show us. But because we are using XAML and we've got these commands, then we can test various things you do in the application. So we also could do one for divide. Okay, so 200 divided by 100 is going to be equal to 2. And then we can test multiple operations. So 10 divided by 2 times 7 minus 12, add 7, what does it equal? Okay, and then when we build, they all show up in the test explorer, and we can run all the tests, and we now test various interactions without having to run the application, without actually having to be clicking or tapping on those numbers, and of course we can categorize them and prioritize them and just run the failed test, do all of the things we've been doing. Now if I want to see if the application works, I just click on this, right click on this, run selected tests, go off, you know, this could be 30 seconds or 30 minutes worth of tests. I can test the application without having to run it, which again is one of the main goals of unit testing, is to break down the functionality into things that can be tested easily and over and over and over again. Now one thing I notice here is that in my arrange, right, here's the arrange, here's the act, and then here's the assert. My arrangements are always the same. I create a new instance of this calculator view model and I pass in new built-in random. So I'm thinking that maybe there's a better way of doing that, right? And there is. So what I'm going to do in my class is I'm going to create a variable to hold the calculator view model called calculator. And now what I want to do is write some code that essentially does my arrange for me. And the way to do that is to do an initializer. So now what I'm going to do, and I'm going to attribute this test initialize. So now every time a test runs, this initialize code will run, which will create a new instance of this calculator view model. So now I don't need this code, because it's already happening. I don't need this code. I don't need this code. So all of my arranges, anything I do to set up the environment, goes in the initializer. And now when I run these, they of course all run because this code runs first before the test runs. Okay? So that is a way we can test the actual UI. Think about it. We've done a UI test here. Now, as I mentioned, there are more advanced ways of doing this using the coded UI testing framework. This isn't necessarily a replacement for that, but this is a nice, easy way to test some of the UI. It relies on using commands in XAML, whereas the coded UI test is designed to be way more generic. The coded UI testing framework is designed to be way more generic. But because I am a XAML developer who uses commands, this is pretty cool for me. And hopefully it would be cool for you as well. Okay, so next up, we want to dig a little deeper. I've tested 1 plus 2, and that's fine, but what I probably also want is more of a method that maybe not so much simple, maybe it's, you know, more difficult, and I'm going to do let's say this is more difficult math, 10,000 plus 24,756, which, because of my amazing math talents, I know should be equal to 34,756, right? Okay. So then I can test that. And it would probably help if I attributed this as a test method so that Visual Studio knows it's a test method. There we go. And then I could run this test. Yep. And then I might decide that, you know what, I want even more tests. Okay, I have no idea what that's supposed to be, but we'll see if it's equal to 34,756. Well, I guess I'm adding 2. That math shouldn't be that hard. There we go. Amazing math skills. And then we could run add more difficult, right? Add difficult. That failed? Why did it fail? Because I can't do math. Cool. All right. Awesome. Okay, so you get the point. At any rate, I might decide, I want to test more than just the simple. Now, the problem here, this is kind of ugly. I've got 3 different versions of this, all doing the exact same thing, but just taking different data. And if I want to test various data schemes, if I want to pass in different numbers, I don't want to have to keep repeating the method over and over and over again. What I really want is for my method to be, and I gave it away, data-driven. So how do I pass data into these methods and have the test run based on external data? This is known as data-driven testing, and that's what we're going to do next. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a data file. So what I'm going to do is add to this project a new item, and I'm going to add an XML file. All right, and I'm going to call this tests. And in my XML file, I'm going to add this. It's going to look like this. I've got tests, and then I've got an add. So I'm going to send this to the add test. I'm going to take a 1 and a 2, add them together, and get back a 3. So this I want to be able to pass into the method and have the method say, oh, here's the first parameter. Oh, here's the second parameter. Oh, here's the result. And then I can do the assert based on that. Okay. So to do this, first thing I'm going to need is a reference. Since I'm dealing with XML, I'm going to read some XML. I need a reference to system.data. Okay. Right. And then what I'm going to do is add some code to this. I'm going to add a test method. Put this down here. Called add data driven. And I need a test context property. So all the way up here, I'm going to create a test context property called test context. And now here's my data driven method. And we see that all? Yes. Okay, so it's a test method, excuse me, called add data driven. And it's the data source attribute takes a number of parameters. The first parameter is the data source provider. So this identifies that it's an XML file here. You can use a database, you can use a CSV file, there's other sources you can use. We're just using XML. The second argument is the XML file, which is this test.xml. Then the name of the table or the name of the element in the XML where the data is. So we said add. So that says the actual data you're using is in the add element. And then what we're going to do is we're going to read from that XML file. We're going to get the value in first, and we're going to set that as the current value in the calculator. Then we're going to add this second, which is this number here, the 2. Then we're going to hit the equal button, and then we're going to assert that whatever was in the first plus the second is equal to whatever's in the sum. Okay? Make sense? All right. So now, if we ran this at this point, not much would happen. It fails because the unit test adapter failed to connect to the data source or to read the data because all we did was say, hey, look, there's this file that you need to go get, but the test framework hasn't loaded this file, so we need to do some setup work. So what we're going to do that is at the solution level, oops, it's actually, can I do that from the right click? Not sure. From the solution level, I go to test, test settings, and I'm going to, nope, hold on, I'm skipping ahead. I'm going to add a new item. I was right in the first place. So add a new item, go to test settings, and choose test settings. And I will call this calculator.testSettings. Okay, so now I got a test setting wizard which walks me through a variety of options. Here's the name of the test settings file. I can choose where to run it. Okay, I can choose to run this locally or remotely. I'm just going to choose locally on this machine. I can configure diagnostic adapters to collect various data and various diagnostics if I want. Here is the actual reason we're running this, because I need to enable deployment and I need to go find the file that's going to be deployed with this test solution, and that is my XML file. So there's test.xml. That's how this XML file gets wired up to the actual tests. Additional things I can do is I can run scripts before or after test runs. I can change the default naming scheme for the test result files, because the tests are written to disk in a file. Where's the host where the tests are going to run? I can select timeout, so abort a test if it takes too much time, or mark a test as failed if it takes too much time. And then what assembly, are there additional assemblies I need to load to run the test? And then finally, how are web tests run? So really, the only reason I ran this was for the deployment, because I wanted to make sure that the test went out and actually grabbed this test file so that we could call it. Okay. And again, that was done at the solution level here. Okay, now, one last step to do before I can run the test is I need to go select this file. I've created the test settings file, but I go and select it. There's the test setting file I want to use. This gives you the ability to have different test settings for different runs of the test. Okay, kind of the reason it's at the solution level. And you might have multiple test projects in a solution, and you can set your own settings. Okay, so now that all this is done, I should be able to come in here and run the data-driven test, which works, and as we can see, it ran. Okay, and selected the data out of data row zero, oops, which is this. Now, if I want to run multiples, then all I have to do is add new data to the file. So here I'm going to run the test 3 times using different data. Now let's run this. And it ran multiple times, and I can see they all worked. Okay? So this is how you do data-driven testing. Not modifying the test methods to pass in different data, not copying the test method over and over again and plugging in different data. It's all data driven through an XML file. So you can plug in various data sources. Could be a database again, could be an XML file, CSV file. Plug in different data sources based on that test settings file you created, and then run the test on a variety of data. So you could create 1,000 different tests you wanted, all stuck in a data file, and then just wire up this method to read the data and then execute the test. Okay? All right, so the last thing I want to look at today is code coverage. I know that I've written tests, I know they're all passing, I know that every test I've written passes, and I know that all of the code I've written tests for has been tested, but how do I know if I've written tests for all of the code? Okay? Well, you can take one look at this and tell that I haven't, because I've just done add, divide, and then multiple operations. But let's get a little bit more rigorous than that. So we can come to test, come to analyze code coverage, and either look at the coverage of individual tests or all of the tests. So let's do all tests. We select this. What Visual Studio then does is it runs all of the tests and then tells me in the code coverage results that I have covered a whopping 78.31% of my code, which is actually a little bit higher than I thought it would be. I thought I'd be well under half. However, 22% of my code has not been tested. Now, what is the code that hasn't been tested? If I go into the calculator assembly and I look in the calculator view model, which is where most of my code is, I can see that I did not test add hours, minutes, random, add seconds. I did not test back. There's a whole bunch of things I did not test. If I double-click back, I'm taken into that code and shown the code that I didn't test. I actually never created a test for back in the first place, so I haven't run any of this. So let's create a test for back. Add that to our tests. Okay. And then now let's go back into test, analyze code coverage, run all the tests again. The tests all run. I'm up to 80% better. But if I dive into the calculator view model and I look it back again, I see that I've tested most of it, but not all of it, because I never actually tested what happens if the current value is zero and then you hit the back button. Okay, so this is a good place to stop for part two. So what we've seen in part one was how simple it is to set up unit testing and getting going. In this episode, we saw that if you're using XAML and commanding, you can test not only the methods, but also what happens in the UI. And again, exploring how to do that for web apps would be a good future topic. And then we've seen here how to set up data-driven tests and also look to see what the code coverage is. You should absolutely write your tests, absolutely test your code. The code coverage is a great idea. Definitely after you've written the tests and run them for a while, use the code coverage and make sure that you're testing all of the code and all of the scenarios. And then if you're making sure you've done that and your tests are all passing, then you can feel pretty confident that you have a complete set of tests. So that's a good place to stop for now. And we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox, where we will do part 3 of this.